Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Last night marked the three world premieres created especially for Tulsa Ballet as Off the Floor Creations in Studio K got underway at Tulsa Ballet Studio K Theater. Off the Floor Creations in Studio K is now in its seventh year. It's provided choreographers and dancers alike the opportunity to be a part of a remarkable creative process. This year, three choreographers presented three new works. Ma Kong, Tulsa Ballet's own choreographer, presented Unico. Jody Gates, the director of the Gloria Kaufman School of Dance at the University of Southern California, premiered The Angle of Incidence. And Young Soon Hu returned after 4 years to Tulsa Ballet to create a new piece titled Contrast. Joining us today to talk about these works, as well as its upcoming 20th anniversary season, is Tulsa Ballet Artistic Director Marcello Angelini. He joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Marcello Angelini, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. As always, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Pleasure is all mine, Rich.
And this is the finale for this season, which actually the beginning of next season will actually also be a creations from Studio K as well. But this one comes first, so you have three world premieres to end the season, and you'll have another three to open the season for your 20th anniversary season.
And less hair on my head by the time the two creation series are over.
Now, how difficult is it to put together these three world premieres as opposed to a traditional premiere or a new choreographer coming in? I would assume with three choreographers doing new work, they all want the same amount or more time for their particular piece. It's a lot of work to get these ready.
You hit the nail on the head. Yes, they're much more complicated. Well, to start with, when you put together a regular triple bill, you pick the works that compose that evening. So you pick a work that will open the evening, one that will belong in the middle, and one great finale to close the evening. Well, with creations, you don't know which way they are going to turn out. You might end up with three closers or three beginners or three centerpieces, and then you have to juggle how you put them together. Of course, then each choreographer has a limited amount of time to create a new work. Each one of them is awarded 2 weeks of dancer time, uninterrupted time. And, you know, that's the other interesting thing that people don't know. When you put together a creation evening, it takes longer then it takes a full length. In fact, for a full length ballet, we take 4 weeks rehearsals for Cinderella, for Swan Lake, 4 weeks. The fifth week, we are in the theater. Well, with creations, we are 6 weeks in the studio, plus a week of all three works together. Then we go into the theater. Then we have a second week of performance. People always think that the creation series is the low point in our season, the cheapest evening of the year. Well, it's quite the opposite. It's the most involved, the most expensive, because you have three choreographers doing creations. You have to double the dancer's payroll, which runs at $25,000 a week. Then you have three set of costumes that need to be designed and built. And so by the time it's all said and done, those are expensive propositions that I'm very happy we are able to offer to our audience.
Yeah. And in the case of a world premiere with the triple bill, maybe the two other pieces have already been staged before, so you get the lion's share with that new creation because it is a new creation. But when you have three ballets that are new creations, that's something else.
Yeah, and also if it's one creation in an evening, number one, you minimize the risks by 33.33%. Because, you know, if that work doesn't really succeed, as we say in Italy, if that donut comes out without the hole, well, that's okay. There are two other donuts that are known quantities. But with an evening of world premieres, you never know. You might have a phenomenal year where all three works are phenomenal, and another year where one or more of the choreographers are not as inspired as they should be, and then you have a creation evening that doesn't really work. How do we minimize these risks? By always calling established choreographers, people that have a body of work behind them, people that have created works for major companies, and then they come in Studio K to create works in there.
What's your role as you're watching these choreographers work? I mean, you're the person who basically says your ballet is going to go first. Yours will be the finale. Yours will be in the middle. So you're obviously thinking about that. But are you another set of eyes in the rehearsal hall, or are you just letting those choreographers work?
Well, my role is to be panicker in chief. I don't know if that's a word, but it sounds good to me. Panicker in chief is my first role. No, I don't like to go in the studio and influence the process, because I just make people nervous, dancers and choreographers, and it takes longer, and eventually the product is not as good. What I will do, I will go and see the work when it's ready, the first time they do it, beginning to the end. And that's the first time I will walk into the studio. I also try to balance the evening musically. For example, I ask all the choreographers to submit their music choice well in advance of the performances and well in advance of the time that they are coming here, because many times they will, and the case is, I think, Yang Soon this year, that for the second part of her ballet, she chose a piece of music that is the bulk of Extremely Close, a ballet that we did here at Lorton just a couple of months ago. And she wanted the same piece of glass music. And I said, well, Yang Soon, I think it's wonderful, but we just finished performing on that piece of music. I don't think you can use it for your creation. It's back to back. It doesn't work. So the music already sort of guides a little bit the process, because if you have three choreographers that want to do electronic scores, well, you have to tell them, guys, this is not going to work. If somebody comes in with a choice of music that I know is not audible, harsh music that doesn't work here in Tulsa, then I will kindly ask them to reconsider what they are doing. But besides that, you know, I just try to provide all three choreographers a good company, a strong company to work with, good dancers, versatile dancers that can do what the choreographers envision in their minds, a structure around them as far as wardrobe, ability to build costumes, outsource the costume, some of the costumes, so that they can just go in that studio and create the best work.
Well, let's talk about the three choreographers. Ma Kong is doing another piece, and he's been very busy. I was looking. He's got world premieres about every other month, it seems like, or maybe even once a month over the next few, over the next fall or so. And he's doing a new piece for your 20th anniversary as well. This is titled Unico. What's interesting about that particular piece?
It's powerful, it's exotic, it's sensual, in spite of the fact that men are wearing skirts. But they are bare chests, so that compensate. No, it's an incredibly powerful and energetic piece. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know if it really has a story. There are a lot of different relationships. There are a lot of different vignettes in the work. But the feeling I get from Unico is pure sheer power. Human power, movement, sensuality. It's I don't know if this is one of Ma's masterpieces. We will have to see once we put the costumes and the lighting and all the other elements. But for what I've seen, the work itself is quite phenomenal.
And it's inspired by Eastern and Mediterranean culture. Do you see that yet? Or will that come together at the final, when you put the costumes and lighting all together?
What inspires Ma is always a mystery to me. He might be inspired by a rose, and you see a work that is like a tiger. So I'm not putting a lot of stock in what Ma's inspiration is, but the work itself is phenomenal, phenomenal.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing that. And this is a talent you've really nurtured. And can you maybe talk about that arc that he's been going on? Because I know he's doing a lot of work away from Tulsa, an awful lot of work. I think there's Singapore, there's a number of companies in the States.
Australia.
Yeah, Australia. Mm-hmm.
A number of companies in the States. Yes, I'm extremely proud of Ma. When we talk about the ballet company, I always make a distinction, and not a nice one, probably because I'm not a terribly nice person. But in the end, is that there are companies that live to survive, and there are companies that live with a mission, an artistic mission. I don't ever want Tulsa Ballet to exist just in order to survive. I want the company to produce something, to make a mark. And the mark that we make as artists and as a ballet company is creativity, is to create something that endures the test of time, that is transferred from one generation to the other, just like, you know, Swan Lake was created in the mid-19th century and we are still performing it in the beginning of the 21st century. Well, this creativity goes beyond just works. When I started almost 20 years ago, I always believed in giving choreographers the opportunity to create new art. And then just in the past 5 years, I started realizing that creating new choreographers, dance makers, is just as important as creating the work. Because if you don't have the chicken, you cannot have the egg. It's the famous chicken and egg duality. And so, yes, of course, I'm extremely happy of what happened with Ma, because a choreographer that grew up in Tulsa, that is influenced by what this company is, because all his tools come from the work that he has done and the choreographers that he has interacted with, now is influencing the growth of the field all over the world, from Singapore to Australia to Richmond to Houston to San Francisco to all over the world. So of that I'm extremely proud. But I'm going to take it a step further. I also realized that I was extremely lucky with Ma, because there is only one Ma Kong. And the first time I said, ooh, this guy can choreograph, turns out to be a winner. Now, I'm the kind of guy that if he goes to Las Vegas and play and I won the jackpot on the first try, chances are I'm not going to spend all the money that I won on keeping gambling. So at a certain point, I was kind of afraid for years to commission another dancer, another work, because, of course, they are not going to be Makongs, or it's going to be time until they become Makong. And yet I wanted to continue this process. So with the growth of the second company, mm-hmm. this year for the first time, there are always dancers that ask me, you know, can we do a work for the company? Can we choreograph? We want to become choreographers. Well, the three of them that wanted to choreograph, I gave them the opportunity to work with the second company and to create a short piece, 5, 6, 7 minutes maximum, that was eventually performed in front of our founder society. Well, three works, at least two of them, if not all three of them, extremely good. Those guys have talent. So what are we going to do going forward? Rather than investing company money and time, you know, even for a 2 weeks rehearsal period, you're talking about $50,000 of investment on one work. We are going to give the opportunity to those choreographers to create for the second company. The second company will have its own season starting from next year. And one of the two programs that they will perform will be Young Voices, choreographers from within the company that, in this case, those three are going to extend the short work they have done for the founders with the second company into a full work that will go into that evening and will be presented to the general audience. And, you know, the second company already has 200 or 300 subscribers as of today, and it just started.
That's great. And then all of a sudden, you begin to nurture that next Ma Kong.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll see how those, you know, from 5 minutes to 15 minutes, there is a big difference. Let's see how those people can extend the work and make it into a ballet with, you know, I compare ballets to fishes. It has to have a head, a body, and a tail. Let's see how they do it. And then eventually some of them will start choreographing for the main company. In the meantime, next year, there will be three more from the company that will choreograph short pieces on the second company just for our founders. Then we'll see which one of those three has the talent, and we will give them the opportunity the year after to choreograph for the second company. And, you know, that's how from this large pool of people that want to become choreographers, eventually we funnel them into people that have this special talent and can create for Tulsa Ballet or companies of the same level.
My guest today is Marcello Angelini, as we talk about a lot of things in addition to Off the Floor Creations in Studio K, which takes place. It opens this weekend and runs through May 11th. Ma Kong will have a new piece for the creations, Unico and Jody Gates. Let's talk about the other two choreographers. Jody Gates set some of the Forsyth ballets for you, but this is the first time to engage her as a choreographer. She is runs the Gloria Kaufman School of Dance at USC, and was a wonderful principal dancer, worked with William Forsyth, and I've seen her work, and it's really interesting because it has a little bit of Forsyth in that sort of new classical look of Forsyth. But she's got all this, these other elements too. There's some jazzy elements. There's, it's not Nacho Duato sort of, but it's a, it's that sort of unique movement like him.
Yeah, and Jody, if you want to trace, if you want to understand their way to choreograph, to create ballets, to create steps, you need to go back to her formation as a dancer. She was a dancer, principal dancer with Geoffrey Ballet. She was a principal dancer with Pennsylvania Ballet, two very different companies. One very creative Geoffrey Ballet that did a lot of great works of great choreographers of the 20th century. The other one, Pennsylvania Ballet, very Balanchine. And then she goes to work with William Forsyth, and she gathers this new information about how you can extend, project classical ballet, classical dance into the 21st century. You mix those three to a great mind. Jody is extremely intelligent and perceptive, and great heart, great in way to interact with people, and you know, you get her her style. And again, her style is diverse, because depending on what she does, if she does a ballet for the Staatsoper in Berlin, it will be different, because that's a company of 100 dancers run by Malakoff and now by Nacho Duato next year. So they will do, she will use a certain style, and then she will do a piece for Ballet West or for us that is very different. So she's also an extremely versatile choreographer.
Well, this is titled The Angle of Incidence, and where does it fall on the spectrum?
I don't know. It's sort of classical in a way, and it's not as excessive as Forsyth. It's not as angular as Balanchine. So, and that tells you that all the information she gathered as a dancer, they have been filtered through her own sense of creativity. So she's using those tools. She's not copying anybody. And that's why it's very hard to describe it. No, it's not Forsyth, it's not Balanchine, and it's not Geoffrey Ballet, Ballet Russe, or no, it's her own work, it's her own choreography.
And yet it looks really, really good.
It looks very good, yes.
Well, that's the second of the three choreographers. And then the third choreographer is, again, you talk about Tulsa Ballet having work, commissioning work, and entering that work into the wider world, and Young Soon Hu is a prime example of that. This Is Your Life was one of the very first, I think it was in the first Studio K creations, because it was set to tango music, that's right.
That's right, yes.
And it was the very first one, and of course, you've taken that around the world, and now it's going around the world, and she's coming back for Contrast.
Yes, the This Is Your Life has been performed by the Universal Ballet in Korea, by the National Ballet of Turkey, by Hanover Ballet, of course, by us in Korea. The ballet's gone around the world. And again, this is how you influence the growth of the field, by creating pieces and exporting them. I always compare it to a bank account. You know, we always go to the bank and take works from the bank. But at a certain point, if we don't start putting works back into our bank account, sooner or later it will be overdrawn, because there is no new art that is going around the world. Yang Sun is a phenomenal choreographer. I absolutely adore her. And what I love about her is that she will always tell a story with her works. There is nothing that is just about movement, just about the process of creating, the process of experimenting, finding something. No. She will think about what she wants to do, and this woman is so amazing, so organized. She will choreograph almost the entire ballet on herself. Then she'll film herself dancing the ballet. Then she'll make the changes and the corrections that she feels are necessary in order to make it look good. And then the final version is what she teaches to the dancers. Now, I say the final version because then from there she will change it and mold it to the dancers. But by the time she comes into the studio, the ballet is done already, it's finished. She just has to teach it. And she will always tell a story. And this is the case with this ballet. It starts in an airport. Because she was telling me she spent so much time in airports going right and left. And she, of course, observes what happens in an airport, the people, the faces, the body language, and you can see that each one of them is in a different stage of life. And then in the second part of the ballet, everybody sheds their overcoats and they dance in flesh-colored leotards or just trunks for the boys. And that's what is inside the shell of everybody, the soul, the mind, the wishes, the dreaders that we have in life. And I mean, the work is just, again, phenomenal.
Yeah, and of course, you have to remember her first two that she's done for you was the it was a reality show in the first one, and then the second one was Best of Beatles, which had a very easy to follow story there as well.
Yes, and nowadays it's so hard to find choreographers that are attracted by telling a story. Because of balancing, whether we like it or not, and I don't say it in a negative or positive or way, it's just the fact is, because of balancing, because then of foresight that comes from that the trunk, there has been a great emphasis on movement, on abstract dance, because dance can survive without sets, without costumes, without story, without... Which is absolutely true, but the opposite is equally true.
Yeah, for a long time you had to have a story. Now that you don't have to have a story, sometimes it's hard to find a good new ballet with a story.
Absolutely, and it's very hard to commission a choreographer a ballet that does have a story. Say, can you tell this story in dance? Well, a lot of choreographers are turned off by that idea because they can't develop their own story. They have to serve the story. And Yang Sun, well, she does develop her own story, but then she does tell a story. And I absolutely adore her. And this is a dying art.
Three great new performances, three new ballets, Mark, Off the Floor Creations in Studio K, which opens on May 2nd and runs through the 11th at the Tulsa Ballet Studio K. My guest today, Marcello Angelini, the artistic director, who will be celebrating his 20th year in Tulsa. I remember when you took this job and then people said, oh, we'll be lucky to keep him 5 years, and here you are going to celebrate your 20th anniversary. Also, we should mention about the Studio K, before the performances in the second week, you'll have modern and contemporary companies coming in and doing a little short performance before the actual performance begins. We should mention that as well.
Yes, local companies, and that's also very important. Being the largest performing arts organization in the state of Oklahoma, we also feel a responsibility to help smaller organizations, younger organizations, more modern organizations grow and flourish. So by exposing them, by giving them the space for free, obviously, and covering the expenses of them being in the space and exposing them to our audience, we hope that they will grow an audience because, again, there is a big, there is a place for everybody in this community and in dance. We are not going to experiment with new movement and new choreographers. The experimentation part is something that we can't endeavor to do, but is very important for the community, for the growth of the art form in the community. That's what they do, and they do it extremely well. So we hope that by supporting them, their organization will grow, and we can get some of these experiments to mature into something so substantial that we can also present it with our company.
Yeah, and it's all good for dance in the city.
It's all good for dance.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the 20th anniversary season because it's kind of an interesting mix of new creations. You'll have a Studio K, another Studio K creations to open the season. And when you were creating this season, it's kind of interesting. You pulled out some important milestones in your 20-year history, some new works. And then things like Carmina Burana, which, of course, that was Ma Kong's big full-length ballet. And also The Three Musketeers, which I can't remember if that was the first major choreographer you brought in, Andrei Burkovsky, for that one or if it was Anna Karenina, but it was one of those two. And that was the first major choreographer you brought in.
Yes, it's the entire season is a little bit of a mix of all the goals that I wanted to achieve. First, we start with creations. I think creation is better in the beginning of the season. It took me a long time to realize that The creation series is very heavy and taxing on the dancers. And at the end of the seasons, dealing with three choreographers, three very hard works, being in the studio all day, it becomes very difficult and also...
The season's taken its toll, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So by doing it in the beginning of the season, they will all be fresh and charged and ready to really give their best to the choreographers. Then you have Carmina Burana. Carmina Burana was the first major work that I commissioned to Makong, probably the largest work he has ever done. And that was really a milestone because it was graduation for a young choreographer. Up to that point, he had been doing very good works, but nothing of that magnitude. And the fact that he was able to create this work and make it so successful, it was a proof to the world and to our audience, of course, that he had grown up. He was now a man and he was ready to go out in the world, which eventually started doing. Then from there we go into Nutcracker, of course, and then into Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty is, again, is my version. It's shortened. I think it has much more action than most others. And then from there, Three Musketeers. Three Musketeers is it's the second large production that I took for Tulsa Ballet and the second major work that I bought. We own sets and costumes of Three Musketeers. Three Musketeers is different from any other full-length ballet because the title characters are men, not women. And so since it's my 20th anniversary season and I was a male dancer, well, let's celebrate it with a ballet for men. After all, Sleeping Beauty is about Aurora, and then we have the Three Musketeers that is all about the male dancers. And then after that, the last program of the season, we are going to open with Going for Baroque, the very first work I commissioned for Tulsa Ballet, and probably the hardest one that Vulcani Paroli has ever created in his career. That's kind of nostalgic. I remember how it felt to commission the first work. Oh my gosh, what is going to happen? What about if it doesn't turn out good? What about if the costumes don't work and the lighting and all the emotions around this first work? And eventually it was so successful that I think at least a dozen other companies have performed Going for Baroque ever since. And then we are going to close with my absolute favorite piece of the past decade, Age of Innocence.
Marcello, thank you, as always.
Always my pleasure.
Tulsa Ballet Artistic Director Marcello Angelini speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Off the Floor, Creations in Studio K continue with performances tonight and tomorrow evening and Saturday and Sunday afternoon in Tulsa Ballet Studio K, as well as performances May 7th through the 11th. For ticket information, call Tulsa Ballet at 918-749-6006 or visit tulsaballet.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent programs, you can listen online on demand at any time at publicradiotulsa.org. Just look for Studio Tulsa. You can look at our most recent episodes and search our archives. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.